He's smarter than Batman, stronger than Superman, and better looking than Thor. It's your host, Alex Curtis. Are you ready for the Batman?
Hello, my name's Alex from The Lead Engine, and this podcast is designed to help advisors understand what's possible with digital marketing so they can feel confident and excited to either do it themselves or hire someone in to help generate more quality inquiries. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast. I've got Mr. Tom Mapplethorpe with me. Tom, how's it going? You're right?
Yeah, very good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And this episode is called 9 Ways You Can Generate Mortgage Leads. I'm going to tell you why we're doing this, and it's also one of the 9. So see what I did there?
I've sort
of practice what you preach,
Inception
basically.
Inception kind of thing, isn't it?
It is, a dream within a dream. Absolutely. That is absolutely right. So the first bit of content, like big bit of content really, I created for our website many moons ago was 9 ways you can generate mortgage leads. Mm-hmm. This was, 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe longer than that. And the reason that I created that page was because lots of people search on Google for mortgage leads. Mm-hmm. So I was creating a big bit of content for our website to rank on Google when someone searches mortgage leads. And I haven't updated that in a while, and we need to update it. So that's why we're creating the podcast episode selfishly for us to update our website content. But then that is number one. So number one way that you can generate mortgage leads, so flipping this back on the audience, what they can do, your first kind of tactic, if you like, is creating content that matches what people search for and using something like a podcast or something like a video. I find it much easier to talk about a subject than I do write about it. Mm-hmm. And I find it much more efficient. Although we normally spend, 40 minutes recording these, I don't think I could sit for 40 minutes and write about mortgage leads.
Yeah.
Or does that kind of make sense? So my first tip is, if you find it, what I find with a lot of mortgage brokers, and this, all financial advisors, they can talk for England. That's the sort of, they spend a lot of time talking to clients and they're very passionate about what they do. It's really easy to talk about it. It's just a case of recording that, getting that transcribed, sending it to a writer. You haven't got to worry about a writer doing research because what you say is kind of like the source material. But then when you choose a topic, make sure it's something people are actually looking for online. You've got more chance of ranking on Google, getting then that bit of content working for you. So we're getting it out on the podcast and we've got subscribers, they'll listen to it. But then people who search mortgage leads will listen to it on the mortgage lead page on our website. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I think you are right in terms of that first one being about in terms of creating content for the SEO because of driving that organic traffic. But also, it's kind of like that being number one, the creating content also feeds into the majority of the remaining 8 in terms of whether you're running ads, any sort of emails. I know we'll kind of like go through the list, but each of them all requires you to have created content because the traffic's got to go somewhere and you need something to sort of create the ads from. So in terms of, we always say like investing the time in that content can be used in so many different ways. And no better to try and drive some kind of, free, in brackets, kind of organic traffic from the search engines.
Absolutely. In fact, you're absolutely right. Because like looking down at all the other things are ways of driving people to content. You need the content there. I mean, we were writing some episode ideas down earlier today, and stuff we've probably talked about where we were going to talk around specific occasions where these things have happened. So kind of like case study type episodes where, so for example, there's like one of them is going to be, the website went live and it immediately generated lots of inquiries when there wasn't any on the old ones. We didn't add traffic, and a lot of that was down to the content, the layout, etc. I think people have this kind of perception that people don't want to read content. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, we've said it before, haven't we? We know from the stats that they do. Some people spend 4 or 5 minutes, which is an eternity, reading content on websites.
Even 1 minute is a long time to be reading something on a website when you sort of actually stop and think about it. If you were to kind of like, almost time yourself on a website, You know, we look at some of them and sort of think, yeah, 45 seconds to a minute on average. So there will always be those that kind of like bounce straight off it and maybe just see, yeah, this isn't for me and go away. And then when you factor that in against the other ones who are, as you say, reading it for, you know, sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, it's a long time to be on there. And yeah, and we found from the numbers, from the, you know, the commerciality of it, when we've been running ads or whatever, I mean, when was it, sort of like 7 or 8 years ago, we did the thing where you'd push kind of like to the landing pages that had kind of like minimal content because you don't want to read it. You just don't want them to think about it. You just want them to kind of like, you know, turn into a lead and fill out the form. Whereas now it's terms of, it feels like, you know, times have changed and people are sort of like a lot more receptive to reading the content, or they need to read that content before they actually turn into a lead, which is, a bit far from removed from what it used to be when we first started working together. Yeah. In terms of those sort of, yeah, maybe sort of 7 or 8 years ago.
Absolutely. And also as well is, if they aren't going to read it and they don't like reading it, they may like to listen or watch. And that's why we, you know, have that will on our mortgage leads page that hopefully will still be ranking with our new content, position one. For that would be ironic if it didn't. Someone will go and I saw you third or fourth. So if it is still ranking, we're recording. When are we recording? What is it? It's June 2021. It's the 18th of June 2021. We are position one at the moment, have been for several years since. I think we did get knocked off first for a while. But we spend literally no time on our website, do we? We're doing a rebrand at the moment. And as the most amount of, you know, it's still not really spent. I mean, we're using the podcast to create content for it. We spend very little time on our website, but it's, and again, we're going to do another episode on domain authority, and we've built up that authority and done the hard yards before, so that's why we don't need to. But so yeah, summary number one: creating content that people can listen to and read, that is what your ideal client looks for online. So if you specialize in like self-employed mortgages, what are they searching online? Are you creating content that they can listen to, watch, that answers that search in detail that Google's going to love because it's rich in really educational content, that humans are going to like because it's rich in educational content, because they don't know what to expect, what to do, especially if they're buying for the first time, or maybe it's been, you know, 5, 6 years since they last bought. You know, it's something we don't do regularly. As a home buyer, we don't really know the ins and outs of it. And it's just make sure you don't assume that they do, and just give as much education as possible to get some eyeballs on it. And it'll become this magnet. You know, it will start getting people to your site. And even if you're just sharing it on social media, it's like, they're not just going to inquire just because you do what they're after. There's thousands of people that do what they're after. So definitely number one, probably the most important. You can't really do the others without it. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I switched that at the last minute to number one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Well, because I thought if we talk about SEO first, everyone thinks, oh, it's impossible. It's like where do I begin? I didn't want to lose people. On number one, because it is the hardest and takes the longest, but it is the most important. Anything else we should add? I mean, we've done plenty of episodes on SEO. We've done, you know, Q&A questions. You've got the Advisors Assemble Facebook group. If you're unsure about anything on SEO, just drop a message in there. But we've got to get 9 points done in 45 minutes, so we may have to move on to number two.
Yeah, let's hustle.
Let's do that. I've done this, so number two, Google Maps. So if someone searches for mortgage broker, I'm in Peterborough, you're in Newark area. But if I was a mortgage broker and I was in Peterborough, someone searches for mortgage broker, mortgage advice, all these sort of things around, you know, someone that's decided they want what you do, and Google Maps comes up underneath the ads, pretty much at the top, and having your business featured on there. There's three spots on there. Sometimes there's four if someone's advertising to put their map post on there. But if you can earn the right to be there for free, you get some decent traffic off that. We've seen, you know, we got inbound calls from there. We've seen plenty of, you know, it depends in what part of the country you're at, but there's plenty of people searching for a broker. And if you're on there, we know it makes a big difference, right?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's kind of like it is that kind of what it does basically with the maps for things like that in terms of people searching for. You don't even have to search for, you know, mortgage broker Peterborough. If we're sat where we are and we just search for a mortgage broker or a mortgage advisor, the map will show up. And there's about sort of, I think there's probably about 60,000 searches a month for people searching for just mortgage broker and just mortgage advisor. Never mind, you know, the kind of like other bits you go with mortgage broker Peterborough. That's
250,000 if you group them all.
If you group them all, that sounds about right. So quarter of a million searches a month in terms of on that, and in terms of all of those will bring back a local result in terms of, and it just sort of shows that kind of that's a great way, and it is local SEO because it's a great way of getting to the top of the search engine, but it is just for your local area. And then there are things that are important things to consider. There are kind of like SEO considerations, should I say, like the authority of your site, how good your website is, but it's also managed through kind of like that Google My Business, making sure you're active. In terms of you've got plenty of reviews, Google wants to know it can trust you and you're a trustworthy result to be at the top of the map, just as the same, it wants trustworthy results at the top of the organic page. And so the Google Maps thing is great. It just can be in some areas a difficult one to crack based on competition. It's same with sort of like competition in terms of for national searches, you're obviously for SEO, you're competing with kind of firms all over the country. But local, you are competing with local firms, and there will probably be, wherever you are, a large or a reasonable number, or more than three, should we say, more than, because that's the number of results that the maps gives. There probably are going to be more than three mortgage brokers in your area. So, yeah, it's a case of making sure you've got the right content, the right site, all those good SEO bits, but then you do have to do that additional bit of making sure your sort of Google My Business is well taken care of as well.
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people will have registered their business on Google My Business. If not, just Google My Business. You do need a physical location. So the Google Maps system is designed by Google for pizza places, coffee shops, things like that. They obviously, the whole point of that was if someone's looking for something, they can go and just drop in at any point. So from Google's perspective, they want locations where people can just drop in. Now, officially, if you read their terms and conditions, you shouldn't be using a virtual office because people should be able to drop in. But we do know that people do that. I've only seen one account that has been suspended. I don't know if you remember who that was. Someone in January who seemed a bit not quite right. Anyway, but there was something going on at that address. So we don't know if it was because it was a virtual office, but I've only ever seen one address being suspended and taken off out of the, you know, tons that I've got in our account and that we've seen before. So officially, you can't use a virtual office, but we know that people do. Essentially, Google will send you a postcard with a verification code on it. You need to be able to prove you are at that address by seeing that verification code.
Yeah.
So I think probably a lot of people have done that. Probably a lot of people working from home now. So I don't want to use my home address. You can use your home address and hide it, but we've never seen anyone be featured in that top three by using the home address and hiding the physical address, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you can still have your business on the map, but we've never seen anyone be featured in that top three without showing their address. So it's kind of like if it was allowed, if Google said, yeah, virtual address is fine, then I would say 100% go and get a virtual office because it's, what, 20, 30, 40 quid max a month. And the returns you could get on that if you are featured are insane in terms of the ROI. So that's something you've got to decide whether you want to do or not. Mm-hmm. And then I think as well, if you are listening to this on our Mortgage Lead page rather than being a subscriber of the podcast, you'll probably find a video on all the things you can do on Google Maps, because I've done that. I've done that sort of training for years and years. So highlights of that being that it's not the number of reviews, it's not the total number of reviews that is the factor. It's about consistency. So getting your reviews regularly, Google wants to promote businesses, like you said earlier, they trust. And one of those things is, do they consistently get 5 stars? And then there's things like posting. You can post on your Google My Business, and then it's basically have a look at all the tools in Google My Business platform and use them all. Google wants you to use their tools, but because of the time frames, we probably can't go into everything, but we've got that, you know, ask again, use the Facebook group, Advisor Assemble on Facebook, and ask where's that video about Google Maps, and then I'll be able to throw the link out to you. Anything else you think on Google Maps we probably need to, we're probably just not underestimating, like, if you get, depending on where you are in the country, you know, it's bread and butter. It's people searching for a broker. Yes, they'll probably compare you with others, but it's like, there could be hundreds of people in your town, city, searching for that. And if they're landing on you and your website's much better in terms of you've coming back to part number one, you've gone into that content, you've helped educate them, they know who you are, they can see you, they know what you stand for, you seem like you've got their best interests at heart, then why wouldn't they choose you over everyone else?
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think in terms of, so one of our clients who has Google My Business, and then this isn't even in like a major town. Obviously, it depends where you are, but this is not like a huge big city like Manchester or London or Birmingham or anything like that. It's a fairly kind of like smallish town. I think, I'm just looking now, yeah, they get about sort of between 45 and 60 calls a month from Google My Business. And in terms of, so not all of them will be leads, obviously, people looking to talk to them in terms of they search for them, search for their brand name and just click to call on the Google, obviously. But even still, that's a huge, we obviously see everyone else's Google My Business profile, and that is so much bigger than we see on any others. You know, sometimes if it's people trying to get in touch, there's normally about, I don't know, maybe six or seven doing it that way. But to get that sort of volume just sort of shows how valuable it can be. And as I say, that's not even in a big city either. It's a fairly small one. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, with for our clients, that's, you know, it's part of our strategy to get featured on that map, because, you know, it is, you know, part of, you know, one of the main things we can do is one of the lowest hanging fruits. And some areas are much more difficult than others. I've seen people dive straight in being featured. Others, it takes a while, even when we're doing everything we know that works. It just depends what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. So it can be a quick win. It can take months and months and months. But the process is the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Google Maps is good. And then I went in, well, so I don't know what you think about my order. I mean, I went in next and I've gone number three and number four to be Google Ads, and number three being Google Ads for that local broker. Mm-hmm. So kind of ties into that Google Maps, you know, people searching for a mortgage broker in your area. If you're not ranking, if you're not on page one of Google, you're not on Maps, the ads are at the top. You can pay for each click to be at the top, and it's those same people. So yeah, you're paying for it, but it's still profitable. And again, if you do number one correctly, that you can get some inquiries out of that. Yes, you've got to pay for every click, but while you're waiting to rank, that's a way that you can get leads in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've probably done tons of episodes on Google Ads exactly, but there's a thing called an exact match. So you can make sure you're bidding only when someone searches for a mortgage broker in your area, or they're searching for mortgage broker, insert your town, and just make sure you don't show up for anything else. So you can have like a, we call it like a local broker campaign, don't we?
Yeah, that's right.
What would you say? I mean, again, we've talked on podcasts before about different results in different areas, but if you were to give someone like a ballpark figure of what you would expect to pay for a lead, like a good inquiry, and that's including inbound calls, what would you sort of... I'm also going to say, bearing in mind that if they're doing it themselves, there's lots of different factors as well. So don't take this as... I suppose we have a process, and our sites, our layouts are very similar, and a lot of time we can improve the amount of inquiries that come through compared to how people's websites are before, but I suppose you, you know, take this with a pinch of salt, I guess.
Yeah, so I would say typically, in terms of a local broker, you're looking for anywhere between 25 and 40 quid for a lead. The reason for sort of the difference is kind of a bit, it depends on where you are, dictates what the cost of a click might be. So, for example, we have some areas that we run ads within kind of like a certain radius. People are searching for a mortgage broker in the city or the town, or just mortgage broker or mortgage advisor within like a 20 or 30 mile radius. And the cost of a click can be, I don't know, £1.90 to £2.10. We have other areas, sort of more maybe more in the south, where that cost is more like £4.11 to £4.50. So you're almost looking at, in some instances, over double the cost of a click, just for exactly the same keyword, just based on the location. It normally does go in line with things like property values. So the cheaper ones do maybe tend to be sort of maybe slightly kind of like further north, whereas some of the more expensive ones are sort of further down south. And what it also depends on is what the competition is like in the area. If there are loads of brokers sort of, you know, trying to run ads in that area because it's high value, or because there are a lot of brokers that kind of clued in to do Google ads, it will push the cost up as well. Basically, Google ads runs on an auction and you basically bid to be at the top. So if there are more people trying to be at the top, more people are bidding and the cost just keeps creeping up, basically. So then it sort of becomes a bit of a point, depending on where you are, on sort of making a bit of a call on, okay, is it actually cost efficient running a campaign this way? Or do I need to look at something else because the competition's high and it might not be cost effective, but it's just one of those things. But we do find we like it in terms of whether it's 25 quid a lead or 40 quid a lead. We do like it because the cost of the lead, the quality of the lead always tends to be pretty good. If you sort of think, you know, people often say, you know, you can buy leads for maybe 20 to 25 quid. We always find that the quality of the leads that we get through this, through your own website, people actually asking you to call them rather than purchase, always tends to be sort of, you know, pretty good quality. Probably double the quality is kind of like the feedback we sort of get. So therefore, the fact of being double the cost isn't always that so much of an issue. But yeah, there's so many variables on the local broker side. And it does just depend on where you are. Sometimes it's a bit of just luck of the draw or bad luck of the draw, should I say. For example, we also ran a campaign in the Midlands around sort of like Nottingham, Derby and Leicester. So I think there's about 30 miles in between each of them. I mean, the cost of a click for stuff in one of them was about £2.50. And I think it was Derby. And then the cost in Nottingham was about £3.50 to £4. And there's what, 30 miles between them, exactly the same keywords, some keywords converted differently between them as well, which is interesting to see. But it's basically because Nottingham was just more competitive, more brokers bidding in that area. And it's just sort of, it's just one of those things that has to be navigated, as well as, you know, all the million other stuff that you potentially have to do with Google Ads.
Absolutely. And then also, I would just bear in mind that the numbers you're pulling out is the 18th of June, 2021. These are what the prices are today, and as Tom said, it is an auction. It is you guys as brokers that are essentially determining the price. You're putting in your bid. There is a couple of other factors. There's a quality score thing that kind of gives you you could pay less because of quality scores. We'll try and put in the notes any links that we've gone into that in detail before. If not, we'll probably do another Google Ads episode on that. But essentially, it is an auction. Those prices, you know, we're in a really weird time at the moment because we're 2 weeks away from the stamp duty deadline ending and then the phased out one. And we're in the, you know, we're just coming out of a, well, touch wood, coming out of a pandemic. It's not a normal time. It's not a normal year. So what I'm trying to say, don't take our word for it on those cost per clicks. Go and you can check Google Ads and check what the current prices, and that could, you know, that could always change day to day, month to month, week to week. It's fairly consistent because people know the value of a lead in that area. It's normally fairly consistent, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the only way that kind of in terms of I foresee kind of like a huge difference in the cost of a click is if there's a huge difference in the value of a mortgage deal to a broker. In terms of, do the proc fees suddenly go up, which you would be surprised, or do brokers start charging higher fees, which again I'd be surprised again, because that value will always be there. You sort of look at it over other products, and it is almost an exact correlation, the value of the product in line with the cost of the click, which is obviously not a surprise. But what it just sort of showed that there aren't really many sort of unturned stones when it comes to PPC or Google pay-per-click, because people have been there, done it, in terms of you've got huge brands with absolutely monster budgets, you know, spending, you know, upwards of £1 million or millions of pounds per month on PPC on some of these huge, really high volume term like mortgages or, you know, mortgage rates and things like that, which don't necessarily convert well, but they just have so much budget, they can just get so much data through. It's kind of when you sort of see a cost per click and you look at it and you think, oh, that's really cheap, you know, kind of 30p a click. it's normally cheap for a reason. And that reason is it usually doesn't necessarily turn into business at a good, at a, an efficient enough rate. And you sort of maybe look at a click. The clicks we tend to try and deal with are around sort of maybe £2 and £5 is around about, even £5 a bit steep. But as it goes up, it's important not to sort of remember, don't be too afraid of expensive clicks. Maybe, you know, north of that £4 or £5 mark, because they're normally £4 or £5 for a reason. It normally means that they can convert into business. But even then, £4 to £5 isn't that expensive in the whole of PPC. For example, a life insurance click can cost you upwards of £25. And that's just for the click, not the lead. Bridging loans is sort of, I don't know, £12, £14, because it has a higher value. Same with equity release, a high value. We see it remortgaging as well, because it's quicker business than the purchase stuff. So again, the value of it to mortgage brokers is higher, so the cost of those clicks are higher, and therefore the cost of the leads are higher. So it's all what has to be navigated. But yeah, it is there is always sort of value to be had there, because people aren't going to overpay for clicks that aren't going to turn into business en masse, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Anything else you think we should cover off that? So that's number three, sort of the Google Ads local broker side. I think that was, you know, there is more to learn on that, I think, but it's, you know, it probably needs its own episode on its own. Well, all of these probably need their own episode on their own. But that would kind of lead, we're going to still talk about Google Ads, because number four is Google Ads, but more around the sort of product side of things. And one thing we love about mortgages is the kind of like all the different things that people search for. And we're not talking first-time buyer, home mover, buy-to-let, remortgage. We're talking about, I suppose it's circumstances, the amount of people that search for NHS mortgages, teacher mortgages, mortgages for non-standard construction, for, you know, Japanese knotweed mortgage, for self-employed, contractor. There's so many. HMOs, self-build. So many, such a kind of breadth of things that people search for, that it's a case of coming back to number one, creating that content. If someone is searching, let's say, self-employed mortgages, quite, you know, a mortgage is a mortgage, but for them it's kind of like the way they prove their income is different, and they'll want to understand that. If they just go to your website, you run an ad on self-employed mortgages, which you could do it nationwide, local, or whatever, just send it to your homepage where you say you're a mortgage broker, you're going to struggle, I think, to get leads, because they're going to want to understand it a bit more. You can get leads, but you've got to do number one, create that content to explain how you can help them and show them that you've got their best interests at heart. You don't want to sell anything to them. You want to make, you know, take all the stress out of it. You can, you need to have that kind of quick chat to find out which lender would be right for them, and then go off. And do they need to understand the process, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely that. In terms of, yeah, when you're running Google Ads to product related stuff, when we say product, we also mean kind of circumstance as well. For example, say in terms of whether it's like a profession, lots of searches around certain professions, even though it's kind of a perception that their job can get them a different mortgage deal, which often isn't really the case. But it's like their circumstance that they're searching around. All the things like bad credit. There are obviously some lenders and products that are more suited to bad credit mortgages. But people sort of searching bad credit mortgage, they're searching it because they have the bad credit. That's their circumstance, their situation. And we find that particularly for things like, mostly purchases. People search for a lot of kind of purchase-related mortgages based on their situation, whether it's their job, whether it's their income, whether it's the LTV they want, whether it's the kind of product they want, in terms of, like, you know, fixed-rate mortgage. We see loads of people search for things like mortgage rates. We actually never, ever bid on mortgage rates because the cost of the traffic is so cheap. But it's like we said earlier, one of those examples where it just doesn't convert into leads. So particularly for purchases, there's so many different kind of scenarios and circumstances where you can set your campaign to, you know, speak in terms of run ads for people searching for a certain kind of circumstance. But it's so important that your content obviously, you know, mirrors that search back. Like you say, self-employed is a great example. You need a decent amount of self-employed content on your page that A, gives the user the information they need. Because we do find as well, users like in terms of inquiring after they have a bit of information, but also so they feel comfortable that, you know, you are an authority in this. You know what you're talking about. You're not just kind of any broker that just does mortgages. It's, you know, people need a little bit more than that. It's gone are the days when you could just put a website and a form together with some kind of, like, you know, nondescript brand And people would sort of, you know, go through and just submit a web form. It's kind of, you know, people need more than that. They need to see, you know, what's your Trustpilot like? What's your Google reviews? What are your reviews? You know, have you won any awards? It's kind of people have sort of a lot more tuned into brands now, I think, than they used to be. So it's kind of all of that goes with it as well. But yeah, the first step is making sure that content's together. With things like the reviews and the brand, you obviously can't change that overnight. And the same with content, you can't necessarily change it overnight, but you have it within your power to potentially get that content done, so it can sort of, you know, resonate with the ads you're doing for a certain product or circumstance.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. And I think just reiterating that point, so many of them. So, and also you don't need to, so we've got, in terms of our clients, we've got quite a large number of brokers that we work with. Only two of them, or there's only two websites that focus in on one individual product. So a lot of people talk about niching. And if you had asked me, before March 2020, and if you had said, do I need to niche down in one thing, be absolutely dominate that one thing, I would have said, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Post March 2020, I would have said, that's a little bit risky. You know, you don't know what's going to happen to the market if you focus on holiday lets and everyone was quarantined in their house, locked down, and they can't go on holiday, then you're in a bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. So yes, those niche websites convert higher, I think, as a general rule. Would you probably agree?
Like, mm-hmm. Maybe without a doubt,
on often probably double as much. So the rate in which, so if you get 100 people to a niche website, you may get 10. I'm just putting this number out, 10, whereas if it was a website that had all products, and maybe that was 5, so maybe it's like if it was converted at 5%, you could convert at 10% if your whole website was niched and all your content was around that one person. But you don't have to. You can, well, I suppose what you want to do is make your, so let's say you love self-employed, and you want to, you know, that wants to be one of your focuses. Make it look like your self-employed section is like that. Is you've got, there's so much detail in there that you would, you've gone into that full pelt, and there's as much information as anyone else who only does self-employed, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference, is having enough in there to for people to understand. So people will call you up and ask your help if they believe that you understand and appreciate their situation. Mm-hmm. If you show that you've got their best interests at heart, that is when they will take into account like how good you are, how many lenders you got access to, all that other stuff. They're the two key important things. When you're running those ads for those specific circumstances or products, when they hit that website, is like, what I'm trying to say, don't have like one paragraph, yes, we help teachers get mortgages. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
If you're running a teacher mortgage campaign, for example.
Yeah, definitely. And it is a good example in terms of like you sort of say, so teachers is actually, okay, a quite a good example. So yeah, we know there's a reasonable amount of searches of people looking for teacher mortgages. Again, somebody that is branded up as Mr. or Mrs. Teacher Mortgages, all we do is teacher mortgages, X, Y, and Z, their site will convert better than somebody that has a, it can be a really good one as well, a really good teacher mortgages page on their maybe more general mortgage broker website. Not to say that mortgage broker website won't convert it at a rate that's efficient enough, or in terms of, you know, turn it into leads at a good enough cost per lead, but it will be better for the person that is doing the brand, you know, that's full, you know, all in on the brand in terms of around doing mortgages for teachers. The only thing is, of course, is that whoever is doing that mortgages for teachers one is only limited to that search volume around mortgages for teachers, whereas the more general one can start to branch out into other things. You know, I do teachers here, I do maybe doctors on something else, I do self-employed, I do, you know, in terms of things like that. All of them convert at a slightly better rate, a slightly worse rate, sorry, should I say, that it would do a niche website, but you have more terms to go at. You have a lot more breadth in what you can go after. So it's really finding what's sort of right for each individual business. And it's really a case of asking the question, okay, is there, am I better off getting a bigger slice of a smaller pie, or a smaller slice of a bigger pie? And, you know, what's the best way around it? And it changes depending on each business, and also, you know, what they want to achieve, obviously.
Yeah, depending where you are, at what point in your career, your journey, your business, you can have multiple trading styles. So if you say, like, you've got teachermortgages.com as one brand, and you've got your Joe Bloggs Mortgages as the other, and you have, you know, one or two of your advisors that just work on the teacher stuff, like operationally as well, speaking to someone, there's four lenders that they speak to. So operationally, it's more efficient with teachers because they've got this smaller panel of lenders that, that do a really good deal for them. So there's different ways of cutting it up. I think if you're... The problem with, if anyone's listening who's starting out and you have and you don't know who your ideal client is yet because you haven't done enough, then don't choose one area. You know, you'll if you get on Google Maps for the local broker stuff, or you're picking up local broker stuff, you'll that'll be enough to keep you busy as an individual, as one. Then work out of that who are those people that you really want to work with, and then move on to this sort of products circumstance related one, and then decide, do I create another brand to focus on that? That's what I would do. If it was me. We are 35 minutes in and we are only just finished number 4 out of 9, so I think this is going to be a two-parter episode. Yeah. Officially decided. And then we've got 10 minutes to talk about number 5. Oh, unless, you know, is there anything else really you'd want to sort of cover off on the product side for? And this goes hand in hand. You know, we've said Google Ads, but you need to create the content, going back to number 1, create the content for the local broker for the product circumstances. So everything falls back to number 1.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd touch again on is the product, in terms of if it's a more valuable product, then the cost of acquiring a click and therefore a lead will probably be higher.
IT contractors, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Contract mortgages is quite an expensive one. So yeah, it's just a case of obviously bearing that in mind. But that's the only other thing I'd say. But yeah, no, I'd say that's sensible in terms of the local stuff is good. If you can get a good foothold locally as well. Because then you kind of get the secondary stuff, like the referrals, the word of mouth. You know, we speak to some brokers that sort of say, you know, one on average, one lead is maybe worth two because the referral they get off that first lead, which is quite interesting. You obviously need a bit of time and a bit of data to kind of work out, and also a decent kind of, you know, incentive or process for trying to request referrals or whatever it is, which again could be right for product as well, depending on the product that you do. As I say, if you you know, get a really good reputation for a teacher mortgage, then, you know, teachers know a lot of teachers. So in terms of there's that potential for it as well. So but in terms of that's the only other thing I'd add on the product side.
And what I would say as well, just with the when it comes to that referrals as well, if your brand is Teacher Mortgages, and you've that teacher has done the mortgage, they're more likely to refer you. They might say, oh, Joe Bloggs did it, but if they say, oh, Joe Bloggs from teachermortgages.com did it, and they only deal with teachers, they're brilliant, fabulous, they're more likely, that referral more likely to kind of sink in, if that makes sense, and for them to act on it. And as well, it might be easier to get partnerships with student bodies and unions and get in the press if you are that thought leader on that particular area. So I'm actually going to call it there and say we'll do 5 to 9 on part 2. And there's kind of like some other questions I put in as well, like which ones out of the 9 do we do more of? Do we get the same results for everyone on those? And then what factors affect how many leads and the quality as well? So that will be coming in part 2. So we'll be doing 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Shall I tell them? Shall I say which ones they are?
A bit of a teaser. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
A bit of a teaser.
We might have some immediate secondary listeners, if you know what I mean. Someone that may go back to that.
Indeed. No, definitely. So number 5, if we don't change it by next week, we'll be emailing your, which I did a last minute change before, so it could happen. But I think number 5 would be an email campaign to your back book. Possibly this, probably maybe more so on protection, but also and using email automation for those people that weren't ready. You know, maybe you've got a lead before, so I suppose this is getting more leads, more inquiries out of your existing leads for number 5. 6, we're going to talk about Facebook ads, what you can do there, and there is a reason why it's 6th and not 1st. Number 7, remarketing. So people that have been to your website and haven't inquired. Number 8, lookalike audiences. So how to find create your own sort of custom audiences on things like Facebook and Google and advertise to people who are similar to the people that have been to your website or have inquired or completed. I've put offline conversions in there as well. So I think that if you are tracking, there is a way to track. So every click you get from a Google ad has got a unique ID number. And if you can track that in your CRM for all your leads that go in and those that complete, you can send those ID numbers back to Google and say all these clicks turned into business, written business, applications, etc. I want to find more of those. So creating a lookalike audience of those. And then number nine, this could have been much higher. So it's not totally in order of importance, but convert more of your existing website traffic into leads. We're going to do like a full-blown episode probably on that as well. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We'll cover them off next time around. We've mentioned the Facebook group already, Advice Assemble. If you've got any questions on that, do jump in there. And we'll see you next time. Yeah, see you next week. Or if you have dived on our mortgage leads page because you search mortgage leads, you could probably, it won't be, it'll part two will be just scroll down, be down, yeah, down the bottom. See you then.
Excellent. Sounds good.
All right. Nice one. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Tom. See you next time. See you later. Bye. Bye.
Bye.